You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up at 7 tonight, it's a special British edition of The Moth. A record-breaking adventurer sets his sights on the English Channel. A seamstress becomes an advocate for her child, and a young woman is recruited into the world of secret agents during World War II. Tonight at 7 on the Moth Radio Hour.
First, it's no secret that social media has become an increasingly important part of our daily lives. We use it to share our successes, keep track of friends and family, and engage in discussions about the issues of the day. But what happens when we share our personal views and we share them in a way that might conflict with the views of our employer?
This week, former professional baseball player Curt Schilling was fired from his job as an analyst at ESPN after sharing a photo and commentary on his personal Facebook page that was widely seen as discriminatory against transgender people. While Schilling is a high-profile example of someone getting in hot water with their employer over something said on social media, it's something that employees and employers of all stripes have been dealing with in recent years, and the answers are not always clear.
Steve Knoll joins us now. He's a marketing professor at Madison College. He teaches about social media. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Great. Thanks for having me back.
So let's start with Curt Schilling here. ESPN chose to fire him, but how much choice did they have given his postings?
Well, it's an interesting issue. I mean, he certainly has a history of posting some other politically provocative social media postings. He actually was suspended, I believe it was last year, for a post comparing Muslims to Nazis. So part of this shouldn't really be too much of a surprise that he kind of has the, you know, a reoccurring theme of, posting provocative stuff. But it does bring about an issue, since he was posting these on his personal Facebook pages. It's kind of the borderline between, if you're a celebrity, where is the fine line between, you know, you as a personality and you as an individual person?
Were you surprised that ESPN did not have a policy that would have been very clear to Curt Schilling when he posted things, so there would not have been any sort of gray area there?
Well, I've been kind of wondering that. It seems like the firing was pretty absolute, and he has been very quiet about it, which does lead me to believe that there was something in writing there. And especially a company the size of ESPN, and of course ESPN is owned by Disney, and Disney is a company that has been very forthright in supporting LGBT issues and non-discriminatory, you know, ideas. So I would wonder if they didn't have some type of dismissal clause built into it. But at the same point, you know, you can argue, where does free speech end when it comes, you know, to posting things that could be contrary to your work policies?
How common is it for companies and employers these days to have a policy regarding employees' social media use?
Well, not common enough, unfortunately. It seems that more and more of these stories are continuing to happen, and you would think that companies would learn about this and realize that having, you know, a social media policy as part of an employee handbook or other piece would be just a normal part of, you know, the HR contracts that with people. But it seems like these stories are not going away, and more companies, I think some companies are kind of concerned with crossing that line between, you know, free speech and then speech of the company. And it is very much a gray area. I mean, we're dealing with new technologies. New technology always moves faster than the law. So part of it, we're in a little bit of, you know, unknown territory here. You know, this is the digital Wild West, and the laws sometimes are being written based on things that have already happened in the past.
Well, according to Vox.com, as you said, the number of firings related to social media is going up. I wonder if people at large are aware that this is a thing now that you can kind of commonly get fired for.
Well, I think the average person would probably realize that. I think the problems that are coming in is when people post, you know, based on an emotional quick action and not really thinking with common sense. In the case of Curt Schilling, he did pull the posting down, but of course, you know, in the social media world, you really can never delete anything. But it could be something, you know, people sometimes post things, you know, out of frustration, out of anger, out of high emotion, you know, and then they kind of go back and say, oh, I really shouldn't have said that, I can delete it. You know, sometimes that's enough, other times it's too late. You know, we think about, you know, a day like today where we heard earlier that Prince had passed away, and the outcry on social media and the grief and the shock of his loss. you have to wonder, people, a lot of them are posting from work. And, you know, if they're posting, you know, he was kind of a controversial figure. What would happen if they're, you know, trying to honor his legacy and posting some of his songs that can be construed as not friendly to your company's brand? Would those people get in trouble simply for expressing their grief?
Hmm. Well, and as you said, people are possibly posting from work if they're posting during the day. Is it something that we're seeing more of, that companies are being very clear about whether or not employees can go on social media at all during the 8-hour workday?
Well, we are, but unfortunately, it's, you know, the workers are looking more and more at companies that have much more open, you know, social media policies. There have been several recent studies looking at millennials and other people, you know, in their 20s, even early 30s, and have proposed the quandary, saying, hey, we've got two job offers. One job pays you $40,000 a year. One pays you $80,000 a year. The job that pays you $80,000 a year, you work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. You don't have any access to social media. Or you could take a job that pays $40,000 and we'll let you have your phone with you, and you can, you know, check Facebook on the company computers and et cetera. And 8 out of 10 of these millennials are choosing the $40,000 a year job because they don't want to give up social media access. You know, for many people, you know, they say that the lifespan of a tweet on Twitter is 20 minutes. And for a lot of people, they don't want to be out of touch for hours at a time. So, and that's, you know, you can argue that, you know, well, is that right or is it wrong? Well, that's a whole different philosophical debate. But the reality is many people don't want to be out of touch for long periods of time. And so they're looking for jobs, and they're looking for, you know, the type of opportunities that give them the freedom to stay in touch as well as do a great job at work.
There's really data about that people are willing to take maybe a $40,000 pay cut just so they can check Facebook and Twitter at work?
Yes. In fact, the number one thing that millennials are looking for and is not a high-paying job. It's a company that has, you know, and I don't want to say necessarily like a liberal social media policy, but they want to have the freedom of being able to stay in contact with their friends and the rest of the world. So if they're saying, well, you got to, you know, check into the office at 9 o'clock, and then, you know, you will do your work until your lunch break. You know, that type of mindset, the old days of the Monday through Friday 9-to-5 work week, is really becoming a thing of the past. You know, many people are saying, you know, I'm willing to work nights, I'm willing to check my email for work 7 days a week, even on vacation. But in return for that, I want the ability to be able to check Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever throughout the workday as I'm doing my regular work. So it's a bit of a trade-off. I mean, people are probably putting in more hours than before, but the idea that you are one person from 9 to 5 and then another person after 5 p.m., that type of person is fading into the past.
We're talking right now with Steve Knoll of Madison College, talking about social media and employers, looking at how baseball analyst Curt Schilling from ESPN was fired over comments he made on his personal Facebook page, checking out this wider issue of social media and the workplace now. And so in terms of what can and cannot get you into hot water, Steve, are there particular things that we need to agree upon, or at least it makes sense to be aware of when you're posting?
Well, a big question, and this is really kind of an obvious one, is are you posting on your own personal accounts or are you posting on company accounts? You know, that right away, there should be a clear differentiation. You know, a lot of these social media oopses that happen are a result of, you know, people either using a phone or a computer software program, and they're kind of, you know, going back and forth between their own Twitter page and the company's Twitter page. And then they go to say something thinking it's their own, and they accidentally post on their company's page instead. You know, that seems to be something that should not be happening. That's a pretty obvious, you know, how the heck is that happening like that? But more and more companies should be thinking about that. I mean, you know, in the old days, I hate to compare it to a smoke break, but it seems like a lot of companies should think about that. It's, you know, if you, in the past, if you had, you know, a smoke break every 2 hours, do you have to offer employees a Facebook break, or should you offer a Facebook break? Would that make your company more attractive in terms of hiring people? You know, right now with the job situation isn't great out there, but a lot of companies are now finding that they have, in order to get good employees, you have to basically recruit them from other businesses. you know, the people that don't have jobs, you know, maybe may not be the people that you want working for it. So you've got to offer something that your competitors aren't offering. And maybe, you know, a more open social media policy could be something that is more attractive than extra vacation days or $2 more an hour.
Well, and then on the other hand, I've heard of employers, when they're interviewing people to come work at their company, asking them to hand over the passwords to their accounts so that they can check out what kind of person they are before they hire them.
Oh, yeah. That's been a huge fiasco. I mean, the whole ramifications as to whether or not that's legal or not, that's still being debated. And probably I wouldn't be surprised if a story like that makes it all the way up to the Supreme Court, just because, you know, the ramifications there, it's, if you think of the idea of, say that you offered me a job, and part of the condition of me accepting the job is you get the keys to my house, and you can come walk into my house and go through everything in my bedroom before you hire me the job. I mean, that's kind of a similar analogy to saying you have to give us your Facebook passwords and all that. So there is kind of a line there as to, you know, is this legal or ethical? You know, part of it is I think employers asking someone for their Facebook passwords is not illegal, but certainly it would be unethical. But it also then, you know, that person does have the right to say, thank you for the job offer, but I do not want to work for a company that would do that. So, you know, those issues are still out there, and a few companies have gotten in some hot water over it. But certainly I do not think that asking for passwords is going to become a regular part of the job interview.
Steve Knoll is with us now from Addison College, talking about social media and employers. What happens when an employee's personal social media comments become a problem for the employer? Talking about this after ESPN fired analyst Kurt Schilling over comments he made about transgender people on his personal Facebook page.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you ever gotten in hot water with your employer over a comment on social media? Tell us what happened. Should employers be able to fire employees based on comments made on a personal social media page? Should employers be able to get the keys to employees' social media accounts? And what's the line between appropriate and inappropriate behavior by an employee that might reflect poorly or well on their employer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with social media expert Steve Knoll from Madison College, looking at what happens when an employee's personal social media comments become a problem for their employer. This week, ESPN fired analyst Kurt Schilling over comments he made about transgender people on his personal Facebook page. That's one high-profile example, but it's something we've seen playing out more and more in recent years.
And you can join in with your comments at 800-642-1234. Have you ever gotten in trouble with your employer over a social media comment? And if so, what happened? And what do you think employers should do, if anything, when their employees go too far on their social media pages? And what do you think constitutes going too far? How should we learn about what that is? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Steve, going back to Kurt Schilling, are there different rules at play there? Because this is a guy who's playing in the big leagues, not metaphorically, I guess metaphorically too, in the media. He's on ESPN, a major media company. Are there different standards there that need to be at play for journalists and analysts like Schilling?
Well, and I think using the word journalist is an interesting way of saying that, because is he a journalist or is he more kind of a celebrity? And I think that anyone that's in these high-profile, you know, certainly high-dollar amount jobs, you would expect that part of that is going to come with some strings. They talk about anytime with celebrities, they talk about morality clauses in contracts. And that can mean a lot of different things. But I certainly think that anyone that has high profile, high visibility, and high earning jobs should probably be, you know, held to a higher standard. And certainly everybody has the rights to their own personal opinions and all that. But, you know, certainly I don't think we really should feel bad for him. You know, this is something that he should have known better. A lot of people that when they get in trouble like this, they should have known better. And given that he has a history of posting stuff like this in the past, I think ESPN and Disney finally just said, you know, enough is enough. It's not worth it. You become more of a liability. And I think that's where the line goes as to how severe the comment is. If we're talking about somebody working in a small shop and they say something, what's the liability issue there?
Well, what about someone at the New York Times? What should they have to adhere to?
Well, you know, there's a lot of clear-cut boundaries with journalism. I mean, there's a lot of integrity that's to be expected, and journalists at least are expected to be at least relatively neutral in terms of not injecting themselves into their story. You know, of course, it's possible for a journalist themselves to become part of the story, but I think that that's something that journalists strive not to do. They're there to, you know, report the story as objectively as possible. You know, in the case of Curt Schilling, he was passing on what he thought was, you know, a funny, humorous joke, which in seeing it, it's fairly mean-spirited, but he didn't come up with it, but he should have known not to pass on something like that. So it's a big difference between somebody like that that's really more of a borderline commentator slash celebrity figure, and then somebody, you know, working for the New York Times who's an investigative journalist.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Daniel on the line in Eau Claire. Daniel, hi.
Hi there.
What do you think?
Well, I think it's kind of a touchy subject. As someone who was born in the 90s and has social media and has the text messaging abilities, I think it's kind of something that needs to get investigated further when it comes to, like, studying and how it affects the workplace and whatnot. But obviously, I think it should come with tact when it comes to viewing social media while you're at work. Or employers maybe need to open up a little bit, and I like the idea of having possible breaks for those things, because you can't really get away from social media these days now that it's 2016.
Daniel, thanks a lot for that, and what do you think about that? We're evolving with social media. Workplaces need to evolve, Steve.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, the reality is social media is not just a fad. It's not going anywhere. It's a fundamental shift in communications. And society is never going to go away from that. And I think it's up to businesses to evolve with the times and accept that that's how it is. That's how people want to communicate. And if companies don't do that, they're going to be left behind. And there's a lot of, especially in the upper-level management, people that didn't grow up with social media, you know, it's a very, very different idea from every generation. And every generation is different. I mean, it goes back to, you know, our grandparents saying that, you know, Elvis Presley and rock and roll was the end of Western civilization as we know it. And, of course, now we look at that and think how quaint it is. Well, our caller we just had, he said he was born in the 90s. By the time he's a grandparent, you know, what will his grandkids, how will they communicating? Will it be holographic? Will it be telepathic? And will he look at it and go, oh, I just wish people would go back to Twitter like a normal person?
Daniel, thanks for that. Let's go to Scott in Milwaukee. Scott, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm glad to hear it. So, I used a pseudonym. I am on social networking, but I used a pseudonym. And an employer asked me, are you on Facebook or any social media? And I said, yes. And then I believe I was disqualified because they couldn't find me on social media or social networking because I used a pseudonym.
Right.
And I was just curious to know what your guest had to say about that.
Scott, thanks for that. And he's not alone, as you see. A lot of people now circumvent this whole worry by just having a sort of a fake name for their Facebook account, presumably one that doesn't look fake because Facebook doesn't like that anymore. But what about doing that?
Well, technically, that is a violation of Facebook terms. That's part of what Facebook originally was built on, was the idea of representing, you know, truly who you are. And that's become a very touchy subject because a lot of people have been, you know, altering their Facebook pages or creating pages without their actual given names. And that in itself is a whole other phone conversation. Technically, yes, Facebook could boot you off the service for violating their terms. But, however, I've never heard of a company rescinding a job offer for not being able to find you. That would be something that an HR person would have to, you know, look into that. I do know it's very, very common that you know, HR people, when they're investigating candidates, will look on the social media to see if they can, you know, just because you're on Facebook doesn't mean that, and somebody's not a friend of you doesn't mean they can't actually see at least some of the stuff on your page. So that is one thing to think about. And it's not just Facebook. It's Twitter and Instagram and a lot of these other more casual social medias that people are posting a lot more personal and potentially, you know, provocative and, you know, job eliminating.
Steve, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Steve Noel, a professor of marketing at Madison College, talking about social media and employers.
I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time.